Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Spoon Mob Pod. My name is Ray Shimalecki, and I am your host. And on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about Tail Up Goat. It's a one Michelin-starred restaurant in Washington, D.C. It's actually located in the Adams Morgan neighborhood, which is a neighborhood known for bar activity from young professionals that have recently graduated college. And it's slowly become a little bit of a restaurant area. More and more places have begun to open, but Tail Up Goat opened back in 2016. It's run by executive chef John Seibert and his wife Jill Tyler and their business partner and colleague, essentially, Bill Jensen, who's the beverage director. All three worked together for about 3 years. John was the sous chef at Comey, and Jill, his wife, was the service director at a restaurant that was owned by the same people called Little Cerro. And Bill Jensen was the beverage director for both Comey and Little Cerro. So after about 3 years of working together, they all decided to go out on their own and open up their own restaurant. They wanted it to be a neighborhood restaurant, a place that they would go after their shifts that served the kind of food that they like to eat and also serve the kind of drinks that they like to drink. So that's kind of the whole idea behind Tail Up Goat, whose name actually comes from a reverend saying that her stepdad uttered when her and John were visiting the U.S. Virgin Islands. That's where Jill grew up and where she was from. And there was a group of animals that stopped traffic on the road. And she asked, I guess, what's going on? What's that group of animals up there? What are they? And he replied, tail up goat, tail down sheep, essentially as a way to identify the animals. So that phrase kind of stuck with them, and they wound up applying it to the restaurant once they decided to go out on their own. The restaurant itself serves dinner basically every night of the week. Obviously, that's probably changed because of the coronavirus pandemic and the restrictions and everything like that. But at the time, before the coronavirus, it was dinner every night of the week, brunch on Sundays. That's actually when we went on a Sunday brunch, just because a lot of the Michelin-starred restaurants in the DC area were only open for dinner. There's very few that are actually open for lunch. So it was kind of difficult, even though we only went to DC for, I think it was like 3 or 4 days. It was Memorial Day weekend last year. It was hard to find places to eat lunch at that we knew were going to be the style of food that we liked and worth going to. Obviously, you can find just a standard, hole-in-the-wall kind of place, but we were looking for something that kind of aligned with the food that we like to eat. So luckily, we were able to find Tail Up Goat and get a reservation. It was pretty easy. I mean, the restaurant was packed when we went in there. I think probably we were in there about 1:30 or something like that. It was probably what we had booked for our reservation, and we had a table kind of in the corner towards the front. There's a little patio area outside, and then the bar, you pretty much see as soon as you walk in, kind of runs the length of the restaurant down the, not exactly the right hand side, it's off to the right, but it's not up against the edge wall. It's there's a space in between, and I believe there was a series of kind of tables lining the wall, and then you had a gap for an aisleway and then the bar. And then on the other side of the bar was the dining room that had two rows of tables going all the way down. And then there's a couple tables up in front, and that's where we sat. So for brunch, they did a kind of three-course tasting menu. You had the option of three different dishes for each course to pick from. So it was slightly customizable. I wound up ordering the seared pork belly, then went with the seared mahi-mahi, and then a rhubarb sorbet was the third thing that I ordered. I don't remember exactly what Katie got specifically when we were there, but pork belly was really good. Had like a nice sweet molasses sauce on there. The mahi-mahi was very delicious as well. Came with like a big triangle cube kind of hash brown just section, which was good on its own. Just didn't exactly fit the dish and the fish. They were both good on their own, but like pairing them up just kind of was a little strange. And then the sorbet was nice as well. The only thing was like there was a celery stalk kind of on there for, I'm assuming, what was artistic plating purposes. And that could have gotten removed as far as I'm concerned, because that got pushed to the side as soon as that bowl was set down. But the food was very nice. I thought the way they laid out the menu too for brunch was kind of simple, straightforward, but you still had some options. The thing that Seibert's known for, his kind of signature touch on his dishes, is the addition of trout roe. That's something that he really likes to do, as well as bread. He really got into baking bread, making bread. And so all the bread at Tail Up Goat is made in-house. That's kind of like his passion project. That he keeps it on the menu. He really wanted that to be a part of the restaurant and the dining experience for everybody that visits. So another thing the restaurant is kind of known for is its charity and charitable donations. So when they first started the restaurant, they put in a couple different things. They would take the $15 for any reservation cancellation, the cancellation fee, and then they would donate that to a charitable organization that's called Miriam's Kitchen. It's a local nonprofit that fights homelessness, and they serve about 300 free meals a day to those in need. So after being open for 3.5 years, that program that they installed since opening had generated over $100,000 in donations to the nonprofit alone. They also do a Cocktails for a Cause program. So every month they take $3 from the sales of a specific cocktail, and over the course of that month compile it, and then at the end of the month they donate it to a charitable organization in the area. So they do basically 12 different organizations a year that they wind up donating some money to. So definitely two good programs. Really would like to see, you know, other restaurants kind of adopt that mindset too as well, and be able to give back. Even with small profit margins, there are things that you can do. And I think there's a lot of people that would order a drink knowing that it's a dollar or two higher in price, so that money gets donated to a charitable organization. It's kind of the same principle as when you go to the grocery store, when they ask you, you know, if you want to round up to donate to the food bank of, you know, Ohio or whatever. I know there's multiple different things that grocery stores donate to across each state, each city, but it's kind of the same principle. You don't really think about it if it's already kind of built in. So would definitely love to see other restaurants kind of take note, and kind of, especially in the times now with a lot of people being out of work, even so in the restaurant industry too as well, just being able to kind of donate and give back to those that, you know, sacrifice so much, especially in the restaurant industry, to keep those places open when everything was going. You know, that'd be a good thing to see. In terms of accolades, the restaurant was voted as a finalist for Bon Appetit magazine's Best New Restaurant Award in 2016. And the goat lasagna dish that Seibert created actually took home Dish of the Year honors from Bon Appetit as well, which is still a great honor to have, even with Bon Appetit undergoing some restructuring recently due to racial insensitivity from their editor-in-chief and CEO and things like that, who was forced to resign because of him and his wife. I think the main thing was like Halloween costumes back in maybe 2011, 2012. They were doing like blackface and brownface. And so that stuff kind of came out like a month or so ago, and he wound up resigning. And there really hasn't been much else in the news about that, but they took home those honors pretty much right after they opened. That fall, they got awarded their first Michelin star. So they opened in February, and the Michelin Guide announced their stars for the following year, which was actually the first year of the DC Guide. Usually they're in like September, October. So, you know, you're talking like 6-7 months, and they were awarded just in operations, and then they were awarded a Michelin star. They've retained that star every year since, hasn't gone up or down. It's been the same one star. In last year, the Washington Post had Tail Up Goat ranked 5th on its 100 best restaurant lists. I don't think the Washington Post is probably going to have one this year. I mean, maybe they will. I'd be a little surprised if they did, just with everything going on. They got a lot of other things to cover. But so who knows, you know, if they come out with a list this year and where they would be. At the beginning of this year, the ownership trio, Seibert, his wife, and then Bill Jensen, they opened a second restaurant called Reveler's Hour. It's basically a pasta wine bar. It's right around the corner, like on just the next street up from Tail Up Goat. And that was open a couple months. And then obviously the coronavirus happened and everything had to shut down. And they pivoted to basically keeping both restaurants somewhat open after they were closed for 2 months. They kind of reopened. Tail Up Goat basically became a dinner kit situation. So they were basically designing and cooking dinner kits that were supposed to be reheated at home after pickup. They were doing alcohol to go too as well. Bill Jensen was doing virtual wine classes. And then for Revelers Hour, they kind of turned it into a full service grocery market. And so they would have prepackaged groceries. Cyber would bake breads that would be available for sale every day. Desserts from the pastry chef they had available too as well. They did some meal kit stuff too, pasta chop, butchered meats, all that stuff was available. I believe they actually wound up getting a PPP loan. And so they've been rotating staff that they brought back in order to keep that PPP loan interest free. So they've been rotating them to different sections around the restaurant and giving them days off, but still keeping them working too as well, so they can meet all the regulations of that Paycheck Protection Program, which is just really, really complicated when you actually get into the weeds of it. What's next for Tail Up Goat? Not really sure. Kind of nobody knows, especially with right now, you know, recording this end of June. We've started to slide back into, some call it a second wave, some call it just a continuation of the first wave of coronavirus. And a lot of states are scaling back, closing down bars, putting more restrictions on capacity for restaurants. So instead of being 50 or 75%, they've been reduced down to either 25 or 50%. In some places too as well. A lot of places, a lot of cities and states are enforcing mandatory mask wearing, especially if not within or within 6 feet of the person next to you, or, you know, going into a business or coming out of a business, you need to make sure that you're wearing a mask, obviously, if you're coming out. But you know, if you're outside riding a bike by yourself, not so much. That's kind of still left up to discretion. But Tail Up Goat, you know, it's worth going to. It's a local neighborhood restaurant. It's casual. You can just show up. You don't have to worry about dress code. The food's really good. A lot of options. The wine bar around the corner is a good place to go. If, you know, you're early for your reservation, you can stop in there, grab a glass of wine, and then pop over around the corner to Tail Up Goat. Or vice versa. You know, after you finish up at Tail Up Goat, you can go around the corner and grab a glass of wine at Revelers Hour. So that's kind of the idea that's behind the location and everything, since Bill and John and Jill, they all live in the neighborhood too as well, and most of the staff for the restaurants does as well in the Adams Morgan area. So it just made sense to kind of keep everything centralized in the neighborhood for everyone involved in the restaurants. I enjoyed my meal there. I'd recommend it to anybody who's going, especially if you need a solid, you know, lunch or brunch option on a weekend when in DC. Obviously, this is all dependent upon when coronavirus kind of levels out, or we flatten the curve, or whatever's going on with it now these days. But you can follow Tail Up Goat, and you can check out their Instagram. It's just at Tail Up Goat. As well as check out the Spoon Mob page, spoonmob.com/tailupgoat. We got a little bit of a write-up on John and kind of his experience as a chef and kind of where he came from. There's not too much available that I could find before he wound up at Comey. I mean, I know he's a, you know, a native of Northern Virginia, and he bounced around a little bit in the area. But once he gets to Comey is kind of when he kind of popped up on the scene when he was a sous chef there. Also, make sure to just check out spoonmob.com, check out the website, bunch of different articles up. Should be another one going up here shortly, maybe today or tomorrow, once I get that finished. Obviously, as I always say, follow us on Instagram at SpoonMob, Twitter at SpoonMob1, Facebook at SpoonMob. All that stuff's linked together, so we post on one, it rolls over to the others, depending on what social media platform that you like to use the most. Check out previous podcasts. This is the fifth one that we've done. Did a food news one last weekend. Did one on Ushabu, which is a restaurant up in Cleveland, yesterday. Also have one on Veritas down here in Columbus as well as the first, the second pod was on, what restaurant did I do for that? Al's Place out in San Francisco. And then the intro pod, the very first pod, kind of covers how I got into food, how I got into writing and everything and podcasting and stuff like that too. So I don't know exactly what restaurant will be on the next episode. We'll be announcing a new podcast concept too as well here in the future. But rate, review, subscribe, check out the website, submit any questions, comments, feedback through the website or directly to me at spoonmob@yahoo.com. Feel free to DM, send in messages through social media too as well. And appreciate everybody listening and just kind of working on pushing out more content for everybody that is listening. And hopefully we'll be able to get more people via word of mouth and everything. But until the next episode, take care and we'll talk to you guys later.